going? It's show number 364. Is that right? 364, because I got it wrong on the show art and stuff. I'm the host of the Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego, Mr. Button all the way up to the top. With me is my mellow fellow co-host, Miss Tifflebot. Yeah. How mellow are you this week, Tiff? Everything good?
Yeah. Yes, leading indeed. Up to this, I wasn't concerned in any way about anything. All right. Now I feel great.
I'm glad you feel wonderful, man. And because we're feeling so wonderful, it's time for the lounge again, Tifflebot. You know, it's after hours. It's not in the morning like we normally do. And so we like to ching it up with a couple of spirits and have a good time. And so because it's Christmas week, it's extra Christmassy. And I'm feeling good. And how good are you feeling?
Well, I'm actually drinking, so I feel great.
Oh, yeah, well, me too. Together again, huh? Oh, shit. What's at the door, Tiff? What's at the door? Hold up for a second. I got to go answer that damn door. Oh, shit. Look who's here, man. Oh, goodness. Tiff, I got a treat for you. We got company. Come on in, fellas. Hey, everybody, look who stopped by for the Christmas party. We have our homies over at Soul Wizard Podcast. We got Marky Mark Ellis Friggins, and Joey DeCarlo! What's happening, fellas?
We were just in a neighborhood. We heard there was a really cool couch here to hang out on.
See, that's bad podcasting. He's doing inside jokes. He's cracking on my couch. He said it looked like a casting couch. he said it looked like a casting couch.
It looks like a porno casting couch.
Exactly.
Okay, that's what he said. We got to be right, right?
Mark, how the hell are you, man?
I'm good. I was not going to make a visual inside joke to start off the show that no one would get, but I'm glad to be here, man. Thank you for inviting us over.
Thank you for being an editor. Thank you for being an editor.
See, like for me, Joey is a treat. Like I'm like, yes.
Oh, excellent. Man. So we told y'all, man, at the last show that we had a big treat for you, man. So we knew these cats was coming, and we so excited because, you know, a huge Marvel movie was dropped this week, and everybody went to go see it. And we just had to, you know, I said, this is special, man. It's Christmas. We used to do special stuff around Christmas. It started years ago when we did that huge show for Force Awakens. We had all the people come and stuff, and it was great. And these cats was part of it. And so we just wanted to do something special again, man, because this is, I think this movie is breaking a lot of records around this COVID time of the year. So so we're doing that, and we're playing games. That's it. That's all. And that's going to be the show. So it sounds great to me. Our guests, how does that sound to you? Are you guys ready to roll?
Yes, I'm totally ready. I'm down, ready to go.
I knew there was no way we weren't playing a game if Mark was coming on. Montego was ready for battle.
Indeed. Let's roll.
I knew there was no way we weren't playing a game if Mark was coming on. Montego was ready for battle.
All right, man, we're back, man, and the party is going strong, man, so it's time to do a little social media art, Tiff. Are you ready to hang?
Yes. For everything Fans of Patrol, go to fansofpatrol.com. That's our main hub. You can get to us at fans@fansofpatrol.com, and then on our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Fans of Patrol. Check out our Patreon, subscribe to our YouTube, and then listen on your favorite listening platform, which you're doing right now, I assume. If you want to hear us somewhere else, let us know.
All right. So I have a holy trinity of podcasts that I listen to. Three. The three big daddies. And these cats are in my holy trinity. Must listen to week after week. One of the best shows on the goddamn planet. And I say that about three shows. And y'all know who they are already. So one, two, three. I love Soul Wizard Podcast. Could the social media man do his thing and let the people know where they can reach y'all fantastic Holy Trinity show?
All right. Well, so is your podcast. Three friends discuss the world of nerd podcasting weekly on the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network. So wizardpodcast.com is where you'll find the podcast every week, links to all our social media accounts, comic reviews, movie reviews, links to our Patreon and YouTube content. We're available on every podcatcher under the sun, including iTunes, Spotify, and Good Pods. So check us out. We are there every single week reviewing movies, TV shows, and other nerdy things.
Yeah, man. I mean, such a great show, man. You guys are doing really well. I'm proud of y'all. Y'all doing y'all thing. It's the greatest, man. So, Tiff, you got a game for us, a correct
comic. That is correct.
So, what you got?
We're going to play Price of Tomatoes.
All right.
And it is Spider-Man edition. So, all of these titles have Spider or Man in the title.
All right.
They are all something that we would watch on this show. So it's not like I was trying to cheat you guys by doing something you guys never seen before. So
and you left out the hyphen, woman. So that's good.
Anything that they all have hyphenated names. Actually, right. Been pretty great, actually. God damn it. Anyway. and then I started a game called Which Spider-Man, which is pretty funny, but I couldn't get it done. So they are all, okay. So if you've never listened to the show before or you want a refresher, we're going to play Price of Tomatoes, which is based on Price is Right. And then we use the tomato meter. So what I will ask our contestants to do is to bid on what they believe is the percentage of score on Rotten Tomatoes. And the person who gets the closest without going over takes the round. So, obviously nobody can bet the same number and we do it in rounds. And so we're going to probably start with Montego just cause he's done this before. I think all of you have played this at some point. Joey, right. Maybe not.
Yeah. I think I did at one point.
Okay.
You don't want to go with the guests first?
All right. You know? Well, we can. I was doing it to be kind to guests. So, but now that I know they've all played it, I'm pretty sure Mark played it once too.
I play it every week. You guys just can't hear me screaming.
Okay, then I guess we will start with Mark. Okay. So, everybody get ready. And then if somebody wouldn't mind keeping score, that would be fantastic.
That's what I'm looking for, a pen, but I got a phone. So, yes, there we go.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. So, the first movie that we're going to bid on, we're starting with Mark, is The Man from Uncle. Okay.
Oh, wow. That's one of the DVDs that's sitting in my collection that I haven't watched yet.
Better not have the Rotten Tomatoes score on the...
Oh, I'm not... Wait, oh, that's a good idea. Shit. My DVDs are in the other room. Shit. All right, so Man from U.N.C.L.E., I remember people liked it, so I'm going to say that is 80. I'm going to give it a score of 80.
Woo!
And then we'll go to Joey.
Isn't Alicia Vikander?
Woo!
You know, I've never seen it. Good question.
Yes, she is. Yeah, she is.
100. Now, Mark, just as an aside, I'm so lazy that all of my Blu-rays and DVDs are downstairs, and I'll buy movies on Amazon.
Instead of going downstairs.
Download the torrent, but I don't feel like walking down the stairs.
I ain't going down there. I ain't going to get shit to appear. Here, pay.
I'm going to go 74%.
74.
Wow.
Okay. And then Montego.
I don't think people... I love that movie. I don't think people liked it all that much. So I'm going to take it down to about 60%.
Okay. So Montego takes the point. It was 68%.
Whoa.
68%.
People don't like it. I love that movie. That movie is great. Shit. Hell with them people who don't like it.
I bought that movie on your recommendation, Montego. I just haven't opened it up yet.
Oh, no, the pressure. It's the worst movie ever made. It's 68% on Rotten Tomatoes.
You like Guy Ritchie films? If you like Guy Ritchie films, you'll love it, man. It's good.
Perfect, yeah. I do like Guy Ritchie
films. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to go with Joey this time first.
Yeah.
Okay, so your item up for bid is Spider in the Web.
What the fuck is that?
Yes, it's an action movie.
Oh shit, okay. This is real. Okay, I thought you made
that
up.
Yeah. No, this is no. I'm making up fucking movies, and I'm making up their scores for them. Good luck, asshole.
I thought it was a joke or something. I was waiting for it.
No.
You tell me anything about this movie that I've never heard of before.
Okay, you know what? Here's the thing. We don't normally, but because I did a double down here, I'll tell you guys that it stars Ben Kingsley.
Oh shit!
Star Blood Rain.
And it's about spies. If I tell you any more than that,
wait a minute.
I'm gonna guess the score.
I think I've seen this movie. Okay.
Yeah, this does happen from time to time. Montego has never heard of a movie, and then he hears a little bit about it. He believes he's seen it. But
not to sound like I'm cheating, but can you just tell me what year it came out?
Absolutely. It came out, and I believe in the early 2000s, but I could be wrong.
I think I've seen this movie.
Oh my God, you guys. Oh, hell no. I guarantee it's not the one I was thinking, what I was thinking, and you didn't see it. It came out in 2019.
Okay, I'm 35.
Okay, 35. And then we'll go to Mark Ellis.
All right, I'm going to say, if none of us have heard of this movie, no one has seen it. So yeah, I'm going to say, like, I'm going to say 36.
Okay.
$1.
I'm going to say, yes, $1.
That's a very underhanded, my favorite way to play the game.
$1. $1.
What, $1?
1%.
All you underhanded bastards. And guess what? Mark took the point because it was 75%.
Oh my God!
Okay, okay. Now, because of what we're watching today and because of this category, I have put one of each of the Spider-Men in here. Here is our first Spider-Man up for bid, and it's going to Montego first. Spider-Man 2002, Tobey Maguire.
Yes, yes, yes! 80%.
Okay, Joey, we'll go to you next.
87.
Shit.
87.
Got me.
And lastly, Mark.
90%.
He's probably right.
Holy shit. 90% right on the dot.
Booyah!
In your face.
Damn it. So Mark takes the point on that one.
When he said it, it just sounded right.
This has been a real fun game, guys.
All right. So... Now that you shit all over my game, which I love. So, Mark, it's your turn to bid first. And the movie up for bid this time is Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
Ooh. Oh.
Dead Man's Chest. So, that's got to be
number two.
Second one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, people love the first one. I think they're a little wishy-washy on the second one. So, I'm going to say, shit, I'm going to say 85%.
Okay, Montego, we go to you next.
I'm going to say 79.
Oh, I didn't hear you. It just sounded like you were making noises of, like, concern and concentration. No. what is it? Okay, Joey.
This movie kind of sucked. Like 58.
Woo!
Ooh. There
you go. You guys have all gone over the movie's 53%.
Woo! Woo! Damn!
I will tell you that as the person who's frequently the one to... hosting this game, it really tickles me when Joey was like, this movie, everyone was like, eh, you know, I think people like this, and then one of the people was like, this movie stinks out loud 10%. And it's usually those people who get it right. When you said 50, I was like, come on, man.
Wow.
Okay,
I'm a little surprised at that score. Wow. Okay.
Honestly, I don't know which one that is. It might be the third
one. It's number two.
That's the second one.
It's number
two. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guys,
if you look at these covers, you cannot fucking tell them. Okay, so the next movie up for bid, we're starting with Joey here, is The Man with the Golden Gun, James Bond movie.
Oh, shit. That's my shit.
Joey loves James Bond.
Oh, zero. fuck. 68%.
68%. Okay.
Nice.
Then we go to, almost nice. Yeah. then we'll go to...
Oh. This is a tough one. I'm sure it's Roger Moore, so I'm sure it's popular.
It's Roger Moore.
I'm going to say 70%.
70%. Okay. Ooh. And Montego.
Well, we got Roger Moore and Count Dooku. And
Count Dooku.
man, this was not a good movie, but I love James Bond. But anyway, I'm gonna give it. Did somebody say 68?
I did.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go 72.
72. You would all be wrong. You went over. It's 39%.
I agree. It's not a good movie.
I also agree.
39% on that one, you guys. Wow. Okay.
You know, a lot of times, though, a lot of that older stuff just get the scores just keep going up as older it gets. And stuff.
I agree. Although there was some surprising bullshit when I was looking into this situation, where some movies I was like, no way. It was like 97%. I was like, fuck you. So we are back to another Spider-Man movie, our second Spider-Man. So Montego, I think you are bidding first on this one.
Okay.
So it's Spider-Man Far From Home.
Far From Home. Far From Home is 78%.
Okay. Okay. Then we'll go to Joey.
I'm going to go with like 82%.
82. And Mark.
Yeah, I know what's wrong with you guys. People love these Spider-Man movies. I'm going back to 90%. Sticking with my 90.
Over. Holy shit, it was also 90%.
Damn! God damn!
Come on, man.
I was like, the first one was a slam dunk, but this one, woo, nice, what? Very nice. I like
it. Start a new game. What is
wow.
this?
Wow. Okay. I'm struck, man. I didn't think people liked that movie that much, you know? Wow.
I absolutely love that Spider-Man movie. That's one of my favorite ones. I know people love that movie.
No, I mean, I know it's a good movie. I just figured the critics would give it
exactly.
Like, not as great reviews.
Hey, exactly.
Right. These are the critical scores. But wow. Still, he's 90.
Yeah, see how much we know.
Shakespeare
shit.
In love.
Oh my God. Okay, listen. I love that movie, man. I will go down in flames over it. Okay, so... Our next item of forbid, our next movie of forbid, we'll start with Mark here, is Along Came a Spider.
Oh.
Remember that movie?
Morgan Freeman. That was Morgan Freeman, right?
Yeah. That was Morgan Freeman. Tell him. Is that the one where he says, tell him he's got the Midas touch? Tell him he's got the Midas touch. when they're driving at the beginning and she's trying to seduce that man, vroom, vroom, but she can't seduce him on his own, so Morgan Freeman's yapping in her ear.
Like, I mean, I saw it in the theater once. I can't really remember.
That's a long time ago.
Go back, everybody. It's good. Anyway.
It's breaking down the script over here. I don't even know what's going on.
It's the only part of the movie I know. Okay, so Along Came a Spider.
Along Came a Spider. I don't remember this movie at all. I think I remember what the video box looked like.
Wasn't Charlize Theron in this? Wasn't she in it? The Charlize Theron?
It was,
Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd.
Girl, I put a lot of Botox
right. in right. Ashley Judd. She was her.
All right. So I'm going to say this one was, 65%.
65%. Okay. Then we'll go to Joey.
51%.
51%. And then we'll go to take
40%.
40%. You guys have all been 30%.
Fuck out of here.
Okay. You guys gotta really be meaner. You gotta be think more like me.
Yeah, I know. I realize that's what my problem is I think every movie is good.
90%. 90% and 90%.
Imagine you went to a movie and you hated everyone and everything.
It would still get like a 50%.
For yeah, I mean, come on. Mark loved Bloodshot.
How dare you?
So the next item up for bid is going to be our next Spider-Man movie. Mm. So our last one. It's The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And our first person for bidding, I think, is Montego, right? So, Montego, what's your bid?
Wow, this movie is terrible. let me think. man, I'm gonna give it like a 30%, man.
Okay. Now you're thinking like a real Tiffany.
No, this movie was terrible.
we'll go with Mark next.
All right, I'm going to say
90%. Just playing.
I was thinking about it, but then I'm like, oh, she said Amazing Spider-Man 2. all right, so I'm going to say that one is 73%.
73?
Mm.
Yep.
Okay, and Joey?
More like Amazing Spider-Man poo. I'm going
27%. Woo! God.
Okay, so Montego takes the point. 52%.
52!
Okay.
Oh,
perfect,
damn.
Perfect. We're coming to the end here. We got two more.
Oh, man, shit, I got a chance.
Not my game.
I got a chance to pull it out.
And so this will be Joey's bid first,
yep.
Right? And then the movie up for bid is Ip Man.
Oh,
ooh.
Oh, that's my film. I love that film.
I love that movie. That movie is fantastic. I'm going to say 77%.
Okay, 77%. And then we're going to go to Montego.
It is a kung fu flick. But I'm going to go 85.
85? Okay, Mark?
I was right around the same page, too. I'm going to say 88.
Damn.
Okay, it is 86, so Montego takes it.
We are tied now, Mark. It's on.
And this is our last. This will be our one that breaks the tie.
Oh,
unless Joey gets the point.
Unless I ruin the game by actually scoring a point.
Listen, Joey, this is a game that I created and frequently do very poorly.
Yes.
So our last movie up for bid here. It's going to go to Mark first for bidding, and the movie is Man of Steel.
Wow, we did a show about this, but with these
guys. Yeah, we did.
We did. Oh, God, this movie. All right. Shit. Man of Steel, I'm going to say 68%.
68?
Yeah.
All right. And then we'll go to Montego.
You're right in there. You write it here. 68. I want to go 67.
67. Okay. Joey.
55.
Oh. Joey takes the point.
God dang.
Okay. As soon as he said 55, I'm like, fuck.
That's yep.
That's
yep.
It. 55%.
I remember it was rotten. That's all I remember. That's just like, that movie sucks ass.
I like Man of Steel. See, that was a fight we had back in the day.
No. Don't open that can of worms.
Y'all can go check out that show. That was awesome. That was a versus show, a battle. That was great.
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Okay, I'm gonna do a tiebreaker here.
Oh shit! Check us out. All
right. Because you have a tie, right?
Yeah, we do.
That's right. Montego versus Mark.
As it always should be.
Okay. Are you ready,
guys? Morpheus. Are you ready, Neo? I'm Morpheus.
Okay, are you ready? I think this is really funny, but it's fine, calm down. The movie up for bid, and we're gonna start with, see, here's the thing, who do we start with?
Guess go first.
We'll start with the Mark here. Demolition Man.
Ooh!
Oh,
man. Ooh!
All right, Demolition Man.
I got my number in my head. I know exactly where I'm going.
What kind of aggressive gameplay is that? Which is like, I know my number. I got it right here. Christ.
All right, so Demolition Man, Sly Stallone, Wesley Snipes. Was a hit.
It was a hit. Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
No one knew who she was back then.
She's cute, though.
So was. I'm going to say... All right. 75%.
Woo!
75. Okay. Montego.
38%.
38?
38? Yes.
Okay. Montego takes the point. It's 60%.
I win!
I win! I always win. Is there no one on this planet to even challenge me?
I win! Yes! Just play my tune.
You guys,
it's been so long since I've been Mark.
Oh my God!
You I feel so good.
Worse.
Oh shit! You see, I got my arm up and a half down.
I feel bad for anybody.
I feel so good.
You guys, the thing is like we're gonna have guests, and it's like, hey, it's gonna be really fun because we finally play like a legitimate game. It's not just us together. Yeah. And then I invite you guys on, and then Mike and Montego's like,
play that music. Mark beat me so many times. I get my revenge. It feels so good. Mark came on my show and beat me like the last three times. Shit. Woo, I feel good. Yes.
I'm gonna like.
I don't care about really beating Montego. I just want to give him a good fight because he seems to beat up on Tiff like a lot. So, like, I'm gonna get on there and give him competition. So yeah, I am. I'm glad you won. I realize my weakness at Price of Tomatoes is that I love everything. I give everything the benefit of the doubt.
He does.
I have been accused of the same.
He's a passionate man.
You know, the thing about it is that we all occupy a specific place as far as, like, movie reviews concerned.
Oh, 100%.
I'd like to let you all know that I was trying to write this very quickly, and I wrote Price of Tomatoes.
There you go. That's what it's called.
Price of Tomatoes, spider or man.
For our Southern listeners.
That was pretty good, y'all. I really enjoyed that, too. Yeah. Excellent job, Tifflebot. So
I do have one piece of trivia to see if any of you can
answer
it.
Oh, shoot. Well, let's
part of my,
cool my brakes.
Part of, it was part of my quiz. Yeah, slow down. Slow your roll. You know what I'm going to say. You never know what I'm going to do. Part of my quiz, which Spider-Man, which I didn't get to finish. The only other trick one that I kind of had was which Spider-Man was born in England.
That was Tom Holland, right?
Correct. Even though Andrew Garfield is British. He's American, born British, so, and lived over there for a while. That's why he talks like that.
I only know that because, like, the Uncharted, like, trailer, when it debuted, they had him introduce it, and he walked out and was like, "Oh, hello, I'm Tom Holland.
it's me, Tom Holland.
Hello, love." I'm like, "Oh, what is this?"
Stop talking.
Why is he pretending to be British?
Right. It's like the guy that plays Rick on The Walking Dead. If you ever see any behind the
scenes
interviews with him, he's a super thick British accent.
Yeah, it's very strange for me sometimes when any actor is good at doing any accent. But that's what my first experience with them is. And then I hear them in their kind of their native accent. And I'm like, oh, you're just really good at acting. Like the job that you're doing is good.
Right.
What's that? Idris Elba got me the first time I heard his real voice. I was like, oh, shit. He ain't from the hood like me. what the hell? Oh, shit. All right, man. So that's it. That's the game. Excellent job. Got a chance to win again, y'all. Feel good. 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back because it's time to have a roundtable discussion of the big Christmas Spider-Man movie that came out with Tom Holland and Zendaya. And what's the name of that movie, Tiff? Spider-Man what? Never Go Back? What's the name of the movie?
Spider-Man No Way Home.
No Way Home. Okay, there we go. They all sound the same. Home Alone, Spider-Man,
well,
whatever.
That's the point, right? They all have home in the title. That's very, it's marketing. Yeah, good for
Spider-Man,
you.
Spider-Man, Home Alone. Okay, we'll be right back. All right, man, we're back. It's time for the big one. We've been waiting for this one all year. We had no anticipation for this thing for the longest because of everything with COVID. Figured that it would get released on Disney Plus. Then all of a sudden they moved it, they dragged it, and they released some trailers and we got reinvigorated again. All of a sudden, the whole world got reinvigorated. Everybody and their grandmama been going to the movies to see this thing, COVID or no COVID, masks or no masks. Anyway, man, so we all went to the theaters to go check out Spider-Man No Way Home. And this movie is, 2021 PG-13, 2 hours, Tifflebot, 28 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Action, adventure, fantasy, sci-fi. With Spider-Man identity now revealed, Peter asks Doctor Strange for help. When a spell goes wrong, dangerous foes from other worlds start to appear, forcing Peter to discover what it truly means to be Spider-Man. Hot damn, that's it, Tiff. Who is in this movie?
Okay, so we obviously have Tom Holland as Spider-Man, and then Zendaya, Benedict Cumberbatch, Jacob Batalon, I don't know if that's say his last name, Jon Favreau, Jamie Foxx, Willem Dafoe, Alfred Molina, Benedict Wong.
Marissa Tomei is in this. J.K. Simmons is in this movie.
J.K. Simmons. Yeah, that's all I'm going to list because that's all they list. I was going to say Thomas Hayden Church is in this movie.
Charlie Fox is in this movie.
No, that's it. That's all I'm going to do.
Okay. All right, man. So, before we go romping and stomping into the buildings, it's time for one word. Our guest, Joey DiCarlo, sum it up in one word for you.
Orgasmic.
Oh my God.
perfect. Mark Ellis Wade Reagans.
I'm going to say it's stunning.
Wow. Oh, nice. Nothing negative nice. Yet. Until we get to Tifflebot.
That's so fucking rude. You know what? I was excited about my stupid little word. And then you're like, dude, tell me your bad word. Now I kind of want to say a bad word.
But you would be wrong to do it.
Correct. I was going to say mesmerizing, you asshole.
Wow. Okay. Strong words, Tifflebot. Even the asshole word.
Well, go on. What's your word?
Special. Very special. And, you know, it's special. It's, all right. This was a special one for me. I really dug what they did with it. And I'll talk about that as things go. So, before we go any further, we'll just hit those spoilers now and let's get into it then. So, ladies and gentlemen, this thing starts exactly where the last movie left off, with Spider-Man identity being told on the billboards in New York, him swinging around with MJ, not Mary Jane, but MJ, and them running from paparazzi on webs all over the city. And I, you know, remembered this from the first movie, but it seemed to have a little bit more impact. What about you, Mark? How did this first opening sequence hit you?
Yeah, because of being a third part of a trilogy, I went back and watched like the other movies like right before it. So it just eased right back into it. Like as soon as the audio starts, before you even see anything visually, I was like ready. I was like right in there, and I was dying to see like what was going to happen now, that what was going to come after that, what the hell moment at the end of the second one. So yeah, I was completely in it.
Right. So, you know, they do a lot of running, and you know, Peter's friends is getting harassed and stuff like that. They're talking about suing him, and he's about to go to jail and all kind of stuff. And Happy's about to go to jail. Everybody's about to go to jail, which blows my mind, Joey, because it's like, this dude just saved the entire galaxy, you know, just 5 minutes ago. And they never mentioned that in this movie, which is kind of like, that's a trip. Yeah, damn, he just saved everybody. And, you know, I mean, he was with the Avengers that helped him. So we get our first glimpse of...
yeah, but like, there's nobody there. There's nobody left anymore who's credible to be like, well, actually, he was doing this stuff for everybody because...
Oh, that's, you know, a good point. That's a good gone. Point. He was on a distant planet, right? And he wasn't... Right. But he came back.
Yeah, I think as far as the general public knows, it was mostly all Captain America and Iron Man.
Okay.
I feel like
I can see that.
The vibe I get from the Phase 4 stuff is everybody's like, it was Captain America and Iron Man that did everything.
You know what?
Okay.
That's a good point. No, go ahead, Tiff.
Before we get too far in this movie, since we have this, you know, we're kind of like going, it's a special discussion. I have a question about... It's special to me. As I'm watching these movies and some of the other peripheral stuff like Hawkeye and things like that, does anybody get the sense that there is going to be some kind of Captain America event? I would say potentially the Hydra, where they might invite, there might be a multiverse Captain America. And the reason I ask that is because there was the musical where it wasn't Avengers, it was Rogers. It was called Rogers. So it's like very Steve focused. And then them adding the shield to, like, it was just subtle shit. The shield on the Statue of Liberty. I thought it was like set up for a future.
I would say no. I don't get that vibe, but I don't know about you fellas.
No, I think they're setting it up to make it even harder for Sam to really step into the role when we get to his eventual movie. I mean, we just watched an entire TV show about that, but eventually he's going to have his moment where he becomes Captain America in the public's eyes, not just the fans' eyes. I mean, he was to me as soon as Cap handed him the shield at the end of Endgame when I finished crying over it. but in a good way, not in a bad way. I was super, that was one of my top like favorite scenes in the entire MCU is when he hands him the shield. I just feel like they're setting that up, that like Sam is going to have to do something. Yeah, in the public's eye, not I feel like the fans have already accepted it, and that's kind of what Falcon Winter Soldier was all about. Mm-hmm. But the general public is going to have to get over Steve and accept him as the new Cap, and that's probably what the conflict from his movie is going to be.
Sure. I mean, that actually kind of makes sense. I just kind of thought, like, for the first time, I noticed that potentially a seed of some kind is being planted. That's subtle in a way that, like, maybe people wouldn't notice it, right?
Yeah, well, Captain America,
so insidious.
Captain America's a New York guy to begin with, so of course New York is going to stand up and completely worship the man for all that he's done in the country.
No offense to our New Yorker listeners there. Anyway, so, Joey, We get our first glimpse at Matt Murdock in the MCU, man. I got chills.
Wow, I was surprised.
I was very happy. The theater when I went, like, absolutely went berserk over this. it was a great little scene. It was fantastic. I'm so glad they brought him back.
Yes.
It was really well done. He was great. However you feel about all the entire Netflix as a whole, like, a lot of the pieces were great. Maybe I didn't like the Defenders that much, for example. I didn't like that show. I didn't like Iron Fist, but I liked some of the characters on it, some of the actors. So there's good pieces to that Netflix MCU wing, and we can bring them in and kind of soft reboot them into the real MCU. Fantastic. I couldn't imagine someone else walking in the door and acting as if they were Daredevil. It wouldn't work. That guy is Daredevil, so I'm pumped.
So did you guys did a great little scene.
I knew it was going to happen because I had the whole movie spoiled for me 3 months ago.
So. Well, I knew it was going to happen because they cast him as Matt Murdock, and so the casting kind of spoiled it. But I saw an article today where he's revealed that he knew for years that he was coming back to do that role. Yep. Yeah, he was like, he's been sitting on this forever.
It was in their contracts. All those guys have movies in their contracts. So,
got it.
So bring it on, man, because I love it.
That's shocking.
So
my favorite thing about that whole thing is that, you know, you bring your little kid to go see Spider-Man, the third Spider-Man, and then Matt Murdock shows up and the crowd goes nuts and the kid is like,
who the hell is that? Who is that?
Can I watch the Daredevil? And the parents are like, no. Jesus.
Like, I better watch this episode of Jessica Jones where she bangs a crap out of Luke Cage.
Yes,
listen, for the whole family.
Listen,
from 8 to 80.
Here's the thing about that. I love Jessica Jones. I thought that series was my favorite.
No.
Really spoke to me in a lot of ways.
We just talking about the rating of those shows. They was, you know, that was.
Oh, wasn't that MA?
It was.
They weren't MA, but they were definitely harder edged. I would be like very hard PG-13.
Hard PG-13.
There's definitely like some sex scenes and stuff.
I mean, all I know is that, like, when I was watching Jessica Jones, I was like, I think I need a whiskey.
Oh shit! I was drinking through the whole show. I was like, oh shit. So, man, back to Spider-Man. So, Peter's having a rough time, man. You know, I like I think they really developed, in my opinion, the relationship between him and MJ, and it didn't feel so forced and just, you know, this is your girlfriend. Now you guys are in love. You know, I, like Mark said, through the three movies, and then this movie, it got really, really, and it was real because of, you know, all the paparazzi, so it didn't even make you even come together. And plus, they were involved in all that stuff in Spider-Man 2. So when it was coming together and he decided to go to Doctor Strange to do this, and the whole thing with the people in the ice and all that stuff, how did you like that, Tiff? That you know, how did you like all that stuff? Even the introduction to Doctor Strange. I was a little thrown that, you know, you knew it because of the movie, because of the trailers and spoilers and stuff, but I don't know. What did you think about that?
You were thrown by it?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't because of spoilers, but I was thinking, like, in comic booky, I was like, well, you know, I don't know if he would have, you know, just automatically jumped to Doctor Strange like that to rewrite reality like that. I don't know. So,
sure, I guess I can see why that part of the movie is kind of a, you're like, yeah, I'll forgive it, right?
Yeah.
It's the impetus for the movie. But then I will say that the one thing about this movie that they do well is that, so Doctor Strange, who I love, I can't believe how much I don't even care about anything else but Benedict Cumberbatch has even done anymore. I mean, even though I do like what he's done, I'm just like, oh yeah, Doctor Strange. And I really love Doctor Strange in this universe a lot. So, like, every time I see him, I'm just like, fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Show up everywhere. Show up in every movie. That's fine with me. Mm-hmm. But I do like the fact they do a really good job of, like you ask that question, you say, why would he fucking go there just because this one's, I guess it's not really a minor inconvenience, but an inconvenience has occurred, right? But he keeps saying, they do a good job of subtly reminding you, well, yeah, you're a kid, you're a fucking kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't really, you don't think about the cosmic infinite. And it's great because Doctor Strange is a narcissist. Of course, a narcissist wouldn't think about the fact that a kid hasn't thought of every single thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're just flattered that someone has come to ask them for their help and he can do it. That's kind of why there's that good levity with Wong, because he's like, you fucking idiot, we talk about this all the time, don't do it. And then he's like, you know, I'm going to do it. Right. So just, you know, get on, go on. Right. Right. So that's what, that's my take on it. It's just that, like, I love the fact that he, well, I think, you know, maybe I'm a little bit blind. I really do like him, and their interaction together is really great. They have good chemistry, but I also think that they do a good job of explaining, or like making you understand that this is totally plausible.
Yeah. Not only that, but like you said, Peter is a teenager in this, and it takes place pretty close to him. He came back, he got blipped back. Everything happens in Endgame. Then he goes to Mysterio, and then this movie starts. Mm-hmm. So it's not too far removed from him just watching Doctor Strange fight Thanos and all that other stuff. So that might be a reason he would be like, well, that guy can fix it, because I remember him doing good all point. This stuff.
Good point.
And also, I think, like, in previous movies, there's been an established... Peter wants to be with a father figure.
Oh, 100%.
There's been some establishment in other films that, like... Obviously, Iron Man was, like, that person for him, but that he also was kind of intrigued or interested in the stuff that Stephen Strange was doing because it was so different.
Yeah.
There was other interactions that they had together.
All of a sudden, Mark, Wong is becoming the most important person in the Marvel Universe. He's in everybody's movie, and now he's the Sorcerer Supreme, which I didn't like. I was like... I don't like that. Doctor Strange is the Sorcerer Supreme. He's the Sorcerer Supreme. Doctor Strange is. So, anyway. So, they move on.
He seems pretty casual for, like, the Sorcerer Supreme. You know what I mean? Like, he's just kind of walking around with suitcases and, you know, his, like, little appearances in the other movies. It's like, come on, man. You know, like, what is the story with Wong? Like, what's the big payoff there?
Yeah. Cage fighting. Crap like that. So... Quickly, man, they do this thing, this abracadabra thing, and, you know, everything is, they think everything is, what, fine? Peter does the spell, which is hilarious. He keeps interrupting the spell, and things get broken really fast. And I like the pacing of this movie at this point. What's up,
That's Jeff? The only problem I have with this movie, and it's such a slight problem. It doesn't matter. But, like, I would have thought that when he kept fucking shit up, eventually Doctor Strange would have been like, okay, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But it just kept going. The third one was a little much for me, because I was like, at this point, he would have been like, shut up.
Well, he'd already started casting it at that point, so, I mean, you know.
But that's the thing, I do like there's, like, that's the dramatic tension of the scene, so, like, that's what I'm saying, it's very small, that's what I'm saying, you barely complain about this movie, but I do like the fact that, like, the idea of this movie is that it's sad to not be remembered.
Hmm, yeah, right? That's a good point, because these baddies start coming out of, you know, nowhere, and, you know, they got the bridge scene where Peter's trying to, you know, talk to the lady, which I thought was just so well done. You know, no matter what was happening, he's still trying to talk to this lady, you know. And we get our first shot at Alfred Molina coming up, and my theater went crazy. I was like, wow, I didn't know people liked him as much as I did, you know. And folks went nuts, Mark. And this is one, in my opinion, there's so many great action sequences, but I think I like this one the best, man. It just had so much mystery. You didn't know how bad stuff was going to get. Where are you at in this?
Yeah, my theater was going crazy too. And I'm like, did y'all not see the previews? Like, we knew Doc Ock was going to show up. What are y'all clapping for? But then when Goblin showed up and you hear that laugh, oh my God, it was like a concert. Like, people were going nuts. And then that's when I was like, all right, I saw the trailers, but I have no idea how Peter is going to get out of this. I thought him using the nanobots to control Doc Ock's arms was awesome.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of that. But when Goblin showed up, I'm like, I have no idea what's going to happen. So I was glad that that's when the gist of the story started to play out.
Yeah. Because they started showing up one at a time. Now, at this point, Joey, pretty fast. I mean, the Goblin showed up. Yep. And let me just say this about all the villains. They were all so new and improved and so much better than they ever were in all the movies. Willem Dafoe blew my goddamn mind. That's the man that we wanted. That's the creature that we wanted. That's the villain we wanted. And thank God Jamie Foxx finally got a decent costume. Finally got a decent treatment. Everything was respectable at this point. I don't know. How do y'all feel about this? I was like, yes, the villains are now the stars, as they should be.
Yeah. Now, a lot of this movie, if you sit down and think about it after you watch it, a lot of this movie in retrospect is almost like either apologizing or trying to fix the Amazing Spider-Man duology. And I think it does a fantastic job of doing that. Like, Jamie Foxx is a great actor, and he could be an awesome Spider-Man villain, but he didn't get the chance. So now this movie fixes that.
You know? Totally. 100%. Yep. Who was your favorite? Who was your favorite villain in this?
Out of all of these guys?
Out of all these guys.
Of course it's a Green Goblin.
It was a Green Goblin. Okay.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Willem Dafoe is an amazing actor, and he just brings it.
I thought he stole the show.
The things he does with his face, yes. Everything. Oh, my God. I thought he stole the show. He's fantastic in this movie.
He stole the show.
I mean, I'm not saying I disagree with that statement, but I just have a soft spot for Doc Ock.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all great. They're all great. No worries.
So I was like, hell yeah. But I will say that even, I think, like, there's something about these movies that I feel like in the original, some of the original Spider-Man, like original, whatever, some of the other Spider-Man movies, which I didn't mind at the time, goofy isn't the right word, but there was a sort of like, and there always has been kind of like a silliness element in comic books, even when things are serious.
Well, especially if you go back and watch the Raimi films, especially the first two, they're absolute love letters to the original lead Ditko books, which yep. are cheesy as hell. And
yes, cheesy.
The movies are full of cheese, and it's not a bad thing. Don't Correct. Get me wrong. I love those movies. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like,
I agree.
If you go back, you might be thinking fondly of them right now, but you went back and watched it like this morning, you'd be like, wait a minute, was this cheesy in the theater? In
yeah,
2002?
You'd be like,
was this? This
I have had that fucking feeling where I have rewatched those, and I'm like, oh, I just remember it being good, which is, it is good, but you know what I mean?
No, they're still like, awesome movies, don't get it twisted, I'm just saying, like...
Right, but I remember not being sort of like, oh.
They have a much cheesier tone than I think people remember from sitting in the theater, especially now having watched 27 Marvel movies in between,
yes.
to take the stuff
of increasing
matter a lot
intensity,
more serious.
Yes. Yeah. I will say that, like, what I do enjoy about this movie, and all of the kind of Marvel movies in this generation that we've experienced, like the buildup of this whole MCU, is that stakes feel like stakes.
Because your ass will die in this thing, and you ain't coming back.
Yeah. So I was like, I did feel like in some of the earlier ones, but what I mean by that is that, like, in the original movie, when Thomas Hayden Church was the Sand guy.
Sandman, yeah.
He didn't strike me with any kind of fear. But the way that they did it here, I was like, it is just alarming. It's not necessarily like something that I would, like, lay awake at night about and be like, oh, the Sandman's coming for me. But, like, it had, like, an alarming kind of, like, how the fuck is he going to take care of this situation, which I enjoyed, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mark, who was your favorite, man?
Definitely Green Goblin. Green Goblin. They did such a good job of...
they did such a good job.
Throwing you off balance. he's a
good
they
guy.
Show him, they show him, like, you know, as Norman, and, like, confused and stealing donuts, and you're like, aw.
Yes!
what a nice guy. And then when he makes that turn, it's like, oh, no. Not only is he turning into the Green Goblin, he is, like, the ultimate version of the Green Goblin. With hood, glider, everything. So yeah, Willem Dafoe as Norman was my favorite.
And to a lot of people, you never had to put a mask on that man. You know, he had the face already, and it just couldn't have been sweeter. I agree with both of you guys that he, as far as the villain, stole the show. So Spidey has all these villains, and the only people he has on his team is his girlfriend and his best homie. And they got the cell phone strapped to his chest. They're trying to do shit, you know. They're in the lair with Stephen Strange, you know, trying to put the villains back. And what I really like about it is how he was able to gather them so fast, and then he decides he wants to fix them. Backfires immensely. And just like you said, with Norman Osborn, comic readers. This was 100% Norman Osborn in the comics. The dual personalities, the struggling. I beat I'm no longer him, and then his ass come back. So it was perfect. So they're trying to gather the villains. The villains double crossed them bad, and now it's time.
Well, I want
go ahead.
About, I do want to talk about the scene, and I could be maybe out of the timeline here, but one of my favorite, I guess you'd say, trope in a superhero comic book mm-hmm. or storytelling is when good guy is forced to fight good guy, because like they are equally, they're on equal moral footing.
The Doctor Strange, you know, fight. Yeah.
Yes, Doctor Strange has the best interest of everyone in the multiverse. And, you know, in my opinion, he's the correct one just because it's difficult, you know, whatever. But, like, I get, you know, they both make a compelling argument, right? So they both have to fight it out. And I loved it when they fought. I thought that was so amazing.
I was thinking about that show we did, Tiff, when he, about the you know, the damn fool moments with the powers. I couldn't help but think about it when he was doing. I was like, oh, shit, we just talked about that.
That's a really good characterization of Spider-Man on screen, is that, like, Peter would do that. He wouldn't just be like, all right, fine, send it back so they can get killed. Like, he mm-hmm. would try to find a way to fix them or save them. That to me, it was just, most of this movie, I was just sitting there like Niagara Falls, Frankie Angel, because it was just, I love Spider-Man more than anything. And this was just such a perfect encapsulation of him on screen. But that's 100% what Peter would have done.
Mark Ellis Reagan, man, your experience with the Spider-Man.
Yeah, you know, the internet kind of sucks because, you know, I saw like images of that
before. It's my fault. I am so sorry, Mark.
I don't think it was your fault this time. There was
because I invited you to that group on Facebook that shit posts about movies, and the stuff they post is hilarious to me, and I think you would appreciate it. So I invited you to the group. Right. When you get invited to a group on Facebook, you automatically see the posts from the group. It never occurred to me that it's a shit posting group where people are jerks and people are just posting Spider-Man spoilers like nonstop. And it was basically a post where somebody posted a picture of the three of them that they took in the theater and was like, I hate you. I hate Marvel fans. You don't deserve to be happy. I'm
sorry. Wow, you piece of shit, whoever did that. You are a piece of shit.
I thought it was funny, but at the same time, I felt so bad that it ruined the movie for Mark.
So. Mm. And this was like the night before it came out. So yeah. I was like, oh, damn. Shit. Well,
yeah. Mark. Damn.
But that being said, when freaking... when they're looking for Peter, when you know, Ned's doing the hand thing, and it opens up and they see Peter, there's a second I thought it was going to be Venom, because it was just an all black figure with like big white eyes,
right?
And then as it got closer, the people in my theater started to go nuts because they immediately recognized the costume as being the Andrew Garfield one. And my friend was like, why are they getting so excited? And then he took the mask off, and you, like Joey, I couldn't hear anything that happened after that.
Wow.
Crowd going absolutely apeshit.
Wow.
But yeah, I agree. I think he's not the problem with those Spider-Man movies. It's pretty obvious that he loves the character of Spider-Man and Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you have to put him in the right, you got to put him in the right film. And them making a darker, you know, Christopher Nolan type of Spider-Man movie might have seemed like a good idea on paper, but obviously it didn't work out, to the point that, you know, the producer of the Spider-Man movie goes to Kevin Feige and is like, all right, we need help.
Yeah.
How do we fix this?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sorry those movies suck, but I'm glad that they suck because now we got this.
I like the first one. I'll just say that I did like the first one. It totally, you're 100% right. It totally was a different thing. But again, if you want to do Spider-Verse movies and whatever, I think his exposure to, you know, too bright Spider-Man, knowing that he don't have to be in this shitty thing, like when they was hugging and calling each other's brothers, I think that would fundamentally change that Spider-Man 100%, change him. And it would be so interesting for me just to see this character who has been exposed to these better versions of him, you know, and see what he, like when he was watching him kiss MJ. And he was like, I ain't got my MJ yet. You know, he saw it on his face like, shit, I got an MJ out there. I was like, yes, I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you
hopefully,
so bad.
Hopefully they recast her.
shit. there was no MJ in there. No, there wasn't no MJ. Anyway.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
was. There was cut scene. It was Shane Woodley from the Divergent movies.
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw that. I never saw those cut scenes. So, yeah, that's new to me, man. So they got this big old romp. It's a great fight in the middle of New York. Everybody's getting depowered. They're getting cured. It's going, you know, it's ups, it's downs. I didn't think I had any fear that anybody was going to die in this last scene. It seemed to me that the big one was Aunt May, and now you just had to fix these clowns. And the fight with Peter and the Green Goblin was just epic, because if you're a comic book reader, you know that this is Spider-Man. He loses it in the comics, at least in the 90s he did. And it brings to mind, what was it, the Fire Lord? You know, he's just beating somebody's my ass.
Favorite,
and he's
my favorite,
right. That's
favorite,
a good one.
Favorite. And that is my favorite Spider-Man story
he's
of
like,
all
I'm
time.
Tired amazing. Of people like you fucking with me. You know?
Yep, Amazing Spider-Man 269 and 270. That is my number one favorite Spider-Man story of all time.
That's what that fight reminded me of. I was like, that's like when he was beating the Fire Lord and he had to talk himself out of whooping his ass. You know?
Talk himself out of whooping his ass.
Okay, so, you know, great power becomes great responsibility. You know, they wrap it up. He casts a spell to have
whoa, it. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're missing, like, the best part in the movie.
What's that, sir?
My favorite scene in a movie this entire year, the entire year of 2021, is Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man catching Mary Jane.
Oh, I had mentioned it earlier, so I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
The theater, I thought there was going to be a fucking riot in the movie theater when this happened. I don't have a goddamn clue what anyone said for like 5 minutes after, because
it was just hollering.
There were people just losing their minds. I was crying like a baby. It was fantastic. I can't get better than that. That's just genre movie making at its best.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where anyone who saw the trailer that saw the scene where MJ is like falling and they see the hand go out, if you're like a big geek, you're going to be like, oh, well, if Andrew Garfield is in this movie, it would be really cool if he caught her. So a lot of people were kind of expecting it. But the thing that sells it is his performance during that scene. Mm-hmm. It's like barely any words are said, but you know what that means to him and what it means to, like, you know, to the other movies. That is, like Joey said, that's my favorite scene of anything that I've seen this year. It's like 30 seconds, but it's so impactful, and it has all those other movies. It stands on the shoulders of all of those other movies. So I love that scene.
And he had
I agree. I do like that scene.
Go ahead, Tim.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I do think that this is a movie of redemption, right?
Yep.
Because I think all sorts of kinds of different redemption, like, that Spider-Man is shitty. Then you're like, oh, he's actually not shitty. And then the whole, I thought Doc Ock was probably one of the more sympathetic Spider-Man villains, and got kind of, this was his redemption story.
Mm-hmm.
Where like
he
gets to show that he was underneath it all, like a good guy. And I thought that the whole thing where it never went back on that. And I was like, there's like one part where they kind of use it to their advantage to make you think it might. But like, I just like the fact that like, they get to be, have these stories where like, they seem more like three dimensional. They seem more interesting. They seem, you know what I mean? Like, I thought that the whole thing was so well done as far as like letting him get his little nice guy stuff back. I loved that.
Yeah. I love the pools of tears in Andrew Garfield's eyes as he was jumping through the air.
Mm-hmm.
And he learned his lesson and grabbed the body, cupped the body, turned the body, and hit, put his body down to keep her neck from snapping. I said, yes. He finally learned his lesson after 75 years. He saved the girl. And so, you know, they destroyed the new Statue of Liberty, you know, so all is well.
Good, because it looked terrible.
It looked terrible.
Yeah, they also saved the Statue of Liberty is what they did. This whole movie is actually just saving the Statue of Liberty.
They saved Marvel for having to CG that in movies for the next 5 years.
So, what happens? He does a spell. He turns, he takes a sacrifice. They hug and kiss, which was another, you know,
yep.
And they're like, God damn, he's saying bye to him and his homie and his best girl. And Aunt May is gone. And he goes and says,
you guys, when this happened, you can tell that a movie does a good emotional impact when the whole time you're like, well, they're going to take it back. Right. Until you see, Like, you keep hoping they're going to take it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Next thing you know, he's at the grave. I really thought the scene with him and Happy at the grave of May was really, really interesting because, you know, there's only no memory of who that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And so I was like, wow, that's pretty goddamn, somebody was diving to the bottom of the ocean on that one with that scene, because you didn't have to do that, but they did. They gave Happy, you know, his story too, you know, in there with Aunt May. And so that was pretty slick. But then he goes to the diner and there's his two best friends. And, you know, that was deep to me. I was just like, damn, could you imagine Mark Elliott Wiggins? Could you imagine just standing on the outside of the people who are most close to you at this point in your life?
I wouldn't have given up that easy. That would be a Spider-Man. I'm like, MJ, it's me. It's Peter. Who? Peter. It's me.
Right. Well, don't go to Doctor Strange and ask him to cast a spell so you don't have to edit the podcast anymore.
Oh, damn it. Why didn't I think
that? So, let's see. There was an extra credit scene. So they did the Venom.
Yes. I stayed for this. I do never stay for any of these. I stayed because I like Venom and also Tom Hardy.
So it appears that Marvel has fixed the Venom problem in the universe and left a piece of his sperm on the table to go find the Marvel universe's Eddie Brock.
We're in a pandemic. That is very not clean.
Yeah. I was like, well, when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's part of the symbiote. I knew that right away. But then they were like, they made that little. And I was like, are you serious? We needed that. I was like, ugh.
He's like, Eddie, where's Eddie? Where's the Eddie in this universe?
Where's Eddie?
Where's the hell's Eddie? Eddie is gone.
That's pretty good, actually. You should be the voice of him. Where's Eddie?
Oh shit! So, man, I think we're good, man. You know, Tifflebot, final words on Spider-Man. Joey DiCarlo, final words on Spider-Man. We'll get Tiff in a minute.
Oh, what? I'm sorry. Like, every time you talk, I don't hear the first part of what you say. So I'm just like, I just assume you're talking about whatever. But yeah, go on.
Final words on Spider-Man, Tifflebot.
Oh, you know what? I think it's really, really great. I obviously loved it. I think it's, if you have been enjoying these movies, it's going to be like maybe one of the better or best one you've seen. So just go see it.
Ah, Mark,
you know, the ability to take a part three of a trilogy and make it a sequel to the other two movies,
woo!
But then make it a
preach
origin story, because he's, you know, you get to the end of the movie, he's like in the classic red and blue costume after he's had the great responsibility line and he fought Green Goblin. So this is almost like a origin story and a reboot. And it pays tribute to the other movies that came before it. Like, this is a masterclass in filmmaking. There's a few holes in it, but it's like, forget about it. The tears washed away all of the plot holes for me. So, I think this is absolutely one of the most, in a year full of Marvel MCU stuff, this is one of the best things they've ever done out of everything.
All they needed to do was put a little black Spider-Man in there, and it would have been okay. I love that line by Jamie Foxx talking about, I thought he was black.
I am really black. Surprised that they didn't open one of those portals, and then in the portal there was animation. And I don't know if that was maybe like a step too far, like that they were, you know, referencing into the Spider-Verse, but like, I was surprised they didn't do that.
I like to see a little Miles.
Now, the Spider-Verse, the Into the Spider-Verse movies are kind of their own... they've proven to be like its own thing, so I don't think they want to step on the toes of it just yet. But there will come a time, trust me. You will see live action Miles Morales, no doubt about that.
That would have been the icing on the cake. Joey, final words on Spider-Man.
Yes. Look, this is an amazing movie. It's a love letter to Spider-Man. If you love Marvel movies, if you love genre films, you liked any of these old Spider-Man movies, you need to go see it. You need to watch it. It's the best movie of the year. It's the best movie of the year. It's 5 out of 5 stars. It's the best movie of the year. Spoiler for this year's Best and Worst of 2021 episode of So Wizard, but it's the best movie of the year. I don't even care. I usually hold back on saying things like that or hide my Letterboxd reviews. and I didn't even care when I got immediately got out of the movies. I knew right away, this is the best movie I've seen all year. It's my number two MCU movie of all time. What else needs to be said? You just need to go see it. You got to go see it. That's all there is to it. Go see this movie if you haven't. And if you have seen it, go see it again.
Yeah, it way over exceeded my expectations. We had
imagine being a DC fan right now.
Marvel sucks. You know, Jesus. We had Black Widow this year. We had a slew of Lokis and, you know, things on the on television. And then yep. We was getting Spider-Man. We also had Venom and we had Shang-Chi and the Eternals. So we had a lot of Marvel this year. And after the Eternals, you know, I was like, wow, that movie sucked. And so I was like, Marvel might be in trouble. And then we got Shang-Chi and things got better, you know, for at least for me, because I really like that movie. And this thing has went all the way back to Captain America Winter Soldier to the point that it's just like blown out of the water. The moment Ridley Scott or any of these other fools mention superhero movies and their criticism of it, it's like, wow, now what, bitch? What do you say about that? Because, wow. You know, I mean, yeah, really, just wow. We've
talked about this on our show a lot this year, is that Phase 4 of the MCU has felt a little listless. We've got flashback movies. We've got a lot of TV shows. There really isn't that oomph that you had with Phase 3 where Thanos is coming and, you know, it's all building to something. This feels like, with WandaVision into this and then with the Doctor Strange teaser at the end of the credits, it feels finally like we're moving towards something. Like this, besides the fact that this movie's phenomenal, but
yeah,
it definitely feels now that we're on the train tracks and the train's moving. So,
100%. I want to thank our guests for coming on and having such a good time with us, man. God damn, I love when we get together. It's just great. Man, thank you, Mark, for coming on and being who you are and taking an L for your boy, because it's been a while, man. It's been a while since you took an L.
I will be back for my revenge. Don't you worry.
Thank you so much, Joey, for just being you, man. Just
That's the after credit scene of this episode, is just Mark memorizing Rotten Tomatoes sitting in his apartment.
Yes, I hope it
Thank you guys for having us. We greatly appreciate it. I love your show. I've listened to it every week since years now. So
same for us, man.
Never stop providing free entertainment for me. Thank you.
Timblebot, we came to do the damn thing and we got it done. You ready to roll?
Yeah.
God damn it. Sometimes you gotta move. You gotta bob and weave. I might hit you.
What are you fucking talking about?
We came to do the damn thing. We got it done. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Vitego Bradley. I gotta do this exactly the same when my co-host will be lost. With me is my dynamite co-host, Miss Tipplebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
Where's Eddie?
Oh, shit. Gotta have more bass in your voice, Tiff.
You can't be like, where's Eddie?
Anyway, until next week, y'all, we'll be... I think it's Matrix time, right, Tiff?
Matrix time,
right. And so we'll do that because we can stay safe in our house and watch it on HBO Max. Thank you, HBO Max. And until next week, man, we will be...
On Patrol.